Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Tom, too, for helping lead us in worship today. So we had a great time last week, didn't we? Yes, we did a lot of good. Yes, give God a hand clap of praise. And thanks to all of you for being here last Sunday, the ones that came and supported that day. We really appreciate it. Others of you may be traveling and missed it, but you can watch a recap video that went out in The Voice this week. Well, last week in our message, we were with Moses at the site of the burning bush, and we marveled at that epiphany of God, out of which came the voice of God saying to him that he was going to send him to Pharaoh to let the people go. And so Moses reluctantly answers the call to go. And we see in the chapters between 3 and 7 that we just heard that God is preparing Moses and preparing Pharaoh and preparing the people for this exodus. And now when we get to the 7th chapter, we finally see God saying to Moses that that Pharaoh is going to be confronted, and that Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The anatomy of Pharaoh. The condition of our heart. Now, when I was a teenager growing up in Holka, I fascinated over the ancient Egyptians. I thought as a teenager I was going to become an archaeologist, and I was going to travel over there to Egypt, and I was going to hopefully find some great Egyptian pharaoh's tomb, like King Tut. So I've always had a fascination with the Egyptians, and this story that we find in the book of Exodus about this pharaoh causes me to have a lot of questions. I want to know who he is. Where's his tomb? What's his name? The writer of Exodus tells us none of those things, but instead we're told one thing about this Pharaoh. We're told about the condition of his heart. He suffered from a critical heart condition known as hardness of heart. So that's what we're going to look at. And we're going to explore three questions. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? What does a hard heart look like? And how do we change it? There's nothing more dangerous than a hard heart. Why is that? Because it can create a wall of resistance between us and God. And over time, it can cut us off from His grace and His presence. That's why this is a serious condition. In talking about the heart, I think it's important for us to begin with establishing a biblical view of the heart. When we think of the heart, we generally think of it in terms of an organ, the organ that pumps blood and nutrients and oxygen throughout our body. Or we think of it in terms of our emotions, you know, our feelings. In the Bible, the heart is defined a little bit differently. The Bible, when it talks about the heart, it refers to the center of our being, out of which everything in our life flows. Your heart, it influences your desires, your convictions, your values. It controls your will and thoughts and not just emotions. The writer of Proverbs, Wise Solomon, says this in chapter 4, verse 23. He says, "From the heart flow the springs of life." The Bible wants us to know that the heart affects everything about you. What does God want above everything else in life? It sounds like a hard question to answer, but I think it's pretty simple when we look at the context of the entire Bible. What does God desire? Your heart. This is what the prophets preached about over and over. When the people would turn from God, they would say, turn to God with all of your heart. You see, God wants to transform our hearts. Because this is the truth. You change a heart, you change a life. It really is that true. If God has our heart, then He has everything. He has all of us. And what does the Bible say about our heart? Well, like Pharaoh, our heart is corrupt. It is deceitful. It is sinful. And in Jeremiah 17:9, the prophet says this. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? You see, the presence of sin breaks the heart. It corrupts the life. And sin is active, and it is trying to keep our hearts closed off from God. Sin makes us resistant towards God. It is like a disease that infects us, and we can't cure it on our own, no matter how hard we try. This is what the Bible says about our heart. It's not all that it says, for this is just the first part of the sermon. Hang in there. So before we look at how God can change a heart, I feel like I need to address an issue that we often ask when reading this section of the book of Exodus, from chapters really 4 all the way through chapter 13, which involves the plagues and the tug of war that goes on between Moses and Pharaoh. You see, in Exodus, there are 18 references to Pharaoh's hardened heart. And we're wondering, as we read through this, who hardened his heart? You know, sometimes we read that God hardens Pharaoh's heart, and then we see at times in response to the plagues that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. I mean, right here in this text we just had read for us a moment ago, God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will not listen to you. Here's what I believe is happening. God knows ultimately what Pharaoh will do. God is sovereign. And if God wants to harden a heart, he certainly can do that. But what I also believe is that God doesn't harden Pharaoh's heart against his will. You see, Pharaoh has a part to play in that hardening. And you see that tension in this text. Is God hardening his heart, or is Pharaoh hardening his own heart? The answer to that question would be yes, both of them. It is a mystery. God's sovereignty and human free will are mysteries that are held together in tension throughout the Bible. I believe that God works in concert with Pharaoh's continual stubbornness and refusal to listen to Moses. And God is sovereign and uses Pharaoh's obstinate will to accomplish his purposes. To get the people out of slavery. And God even tells us in this text, he says to Moses why he is doing all of this. It is for him to get the glory and the renown, and for God to be elevated to the supreme place of authority and worship. God will not give His glory to another. And so even Pharaoh must bow the knee. And if he refuses, then he will be judged. Ultimately, each one of us is like Pharaoh. Each one of us is responsible for our own choices. God never forced Pharaoh to do anything that he was not. So I think what Exodus is doing is warning us. It's not really trying to answer this complex theological question about God's sovereignty versus human free will. It leaves it to mystery. But in the end, I think what Exodus is warning us is about a hard heart and how it affects a relationship with God and builds up a wall of resistance towards God that leads to judgment and condemnation. So let's move on to the next question. What does a hard heart look like? Well, there are two things I want to point out. We could probably point to a lot, but I would point to two this morning. The first is, hard hearts are stubborn. Yes, they are. In chapter 7, a little bit later down in the text, in verses 22 through 23, it says, "But the magicians of Egypt did the same thing by their secret arts." What are they talking about? Well, God sends Moses with these signs to perform in front of Pharaoh to kind of soften him, to show that Moses is a representative of the Most High God. And so he performs these signs. And then we're told that the magicians in Egypt perform sort of the same signs. And then the writer says, "So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart." It didn't change him one bit. He was stubborn. He would not listen. Over and over again, we see that you cannot reason with a hard heart. Pharaoh remains unconvinced by the plagues. As we move on through these 10 plagues, he fails to bow the knee. He fails to realize that God is serious and that Moses is for real and that God has given him authority. So Pharaoh is stubborn, he is dull, and he's unresponsive. He refuses to surrender to an authority greater than his own because, you see, the Egyptian pharaohs viewed themselves as a god. There was no greater authority in his mind than himself. And so he is stubborn. It is a refusal to submit underneath the authority of God. And that, my friends, is the epitome of sin and a hard heart. It's what Genesis chapter 3 is trying to demonstrate to us, is this level of human stubbornness and hard-heartedness. The nature of sin. Have you ever known someone that was stubborn like this? You probably have. You know, probably there are members of your own family that come to mind. There are certainly members of mine. My father was like this. He saw how God worked in my life as a teenager when I became a follower of Jesus. Jesus radically changed my life. I mean, there was no doubt that something different was happening in my life. I mean, I am a living, breathing demonstration of what God's power can do right here. And every time I talked with my dad about Christ, and every time I tried to invite him to come to church with me, he would not listen. He was always refusing. He made excuses. Y'all, I tried for years to share the gospel with him, but there was a wall of hardness in his life. It was surrounding his heart, and it had been built up over years of resistance to God. More about that story in a moment. There's a good part to it. I'll tell you at the end. But you see, this is the danger of a hard heart. Every time we refuse the gospel, every time you and I stubbornly disobey God and His words, we add another brick in the wall. Pardon the Pink Floyd reference. Another brick in the wall. And that wall, it gets built up over time. And what it does is it can limit our growth as a Christian. It can limit our responsiveness to the gospel that seeks to give us life. We cut ourselves off from the full life that Jesus has for us. This is true for those who aren't Christians. And y'all, it is true for those of us who are. And y'all, that's Pharaoh in this story. He is growing more and more callous with each plague as he continues in his stubborn resistance and disobedience towards God. Because here's the reality. The state of your heart determines your response to God. Are there things in the Bible that you just refuse to obey? I can't do that. Are there commands that you just go, surely God didn't mean that? It may be that there's some things in the Bible that you don't have full clarity about, and maybe the reason why you can't follow in obedience of them is because you need more clarity. Maybe that's what you say to yourself. I don't understand that. So I don't have to obey it. Could it be that the primary issue isn't our confusion over the matter? Could it be that we have a hard heart? We won't be obedient. And we wonder why. You see, underneath our disobedience and refusals to believe can be a hard, stubborn heart. Number two, hard hearts love to negotiate. You see, at the first, the plagues, they annoy Pharaoh. They get under his skin and they create inconveniences for he and the Egyptians. Tainted water system, frogs in the bed, gnats at the dinner table, and flies filling the home. But later, the plagues, they become more intense. The cows start dying. Their sores breaking out on their bodies. Locusts go out and destroy crops. At that point, Pharaoh, he starts to make a deal with Moses. Let's make a deal. I'll let you go, but only the men can go. You can go, but don't take anything with you, and don't go very far. You see, Pharaoh is trying to make a deal, and three times he does this. We think his heart's changing. Wow, he's starting to get it. But actually, it is more deceptive than that. He is trying to make a deal with God. You see, that's what hard hearts do, is they want to negotiate and not submit totally. Hard hearts play the game of hearts. They remind me of my son Landon. You know, when he was in high school, before he would take a test, he would figure up how many questions he could miss and still pass. He was always playing games like that. He was always doing just enough to get by, to try to make sure and appease our anger. If I do just enough, then maybe I can keep doing all the things I want to do and I won't get grounded, I won't have to be punished, and all of those sorts of things. Y'all, many of us, we fall into this camp. We are religious just enough to be considered a Christian. You know, John Wesley had a famous sermon about this. He called it the almost Christian versus the altogether Christian. It's a great sermon. If you can get through that 18th century English, you will find a gem of a sermon there. But you see, many of us are like that. We're almost Christian. We will be faithful in some areas so long as we can do what we want to do in other areas. Sure, there will always be areas of our life where we have room for growth, but I will tell you, I know we're not going to ever be perfect the way that we think we need to be, but there is a difference between a growing heart and a hard heart. Here's how this plays out in our lives. We will point to our volunteer service to justify our lack of tithing. We will tell ourselves, I go to church every Sunday, I read my Bible, and yet our lives are full of anger and pride. We play these mind games. That's what hard hearts do. It shouldn't be any surprise for us to learn this. But here's what we see Pharaoh doing. He's willing to give a little bit because his tactic was to get God off his back. If you find yourself playing these sorts of games, negotiating with God, you will always be giving God less than your whole heart. And these games, they're going to keep limiting your growth. So how do you change a hard heart? Let's land this plane. Unfortunately, as we read through 13th chapter of Exodus, we learn that things don't turn out so well for Pharaoh. His hard heart brought judgment on him. It condemned him. And like Pharaoh, as we've said, our hearts can be sinful, deceitful, and self-serving. Apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, our hearts condemn us too. But I have good news for you today. Jesus often preached about the human heart. Oh, he had a lot to say about it. He preached that our core issue is our heart. He says in Matthew 15, 18 through 19, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." These are the red letters of the Bible. These are the words of Jesus. If the things on this list are showing up in your life, you need a Savior. You need Jesus. Maybe you need to turn to Him today for the very first time, or the fourth or fifth time. Jesus wants to give you freedom. Jesus wants you to be free of sin. And He wants to do that by giving you a new heart. Listen to Job chapter 11, 13 through 15. Listen to this invitation. Surrender your heart to God. Turn to Him in prayer. Give up your sin, even those that you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and you will be fearless. You see, what we need to do is repent. Yes, Jesus extends a grace towards us, but He also calls us to repent, to turn away from sin and hardness of heart. He calls us to bow our knee and to surrender to His authority. You see, Jesus died to give us a new heart, a heart that can be full of peace, full of the love of God, full of passion to serve God. Jesus wants to give us strong and confident hearts, full of faith, hearts free of fear. He came to give us a heart like His. And that's what God wants to do for you. Listen to how grace changed my father's story. For years, he was resistant. Then, out of the blue, one day I was visiting with him. And he asked me, "Son, do you have a copy of the Bible that I could read?" I'm like, "Where did this come from?" And you know what? I just happened to have a box of Bibles in my car because we had been passing them out, preparing our community for a crusade. I had a box of them. I was like, "Yeah, Dad, I've got a Bible for you." And I gave it to him. A few months later, my father passed away unexpectedly. One Sunday morning, I was getting ready to go to church, and my phone rang. It was my brother calling. Y'all, we never want to receive those kind of phone calls. So we had the funeral, and we were cleaning out the house after that, and we found that Bible that I gave him. There were pages of it that had been dog-eared. He'd been reading it. You see, God's grace can change a stubborn heart in a moment. In a moment. All it takes is one little crack of receptivity. Just one little crack in the soil of a hard heart, and that seed gets down in there and it can split it wide open and spring forth a new life. Y'all, I'm saying this to you today because it's not just because I am a preacher and I'm supposed to say these things. I say this because I have tasted these waters. And I want others to taste them. I can't help but think of something. How much more could God have done with my father's life if he had only been receptive earlier in his life? How much more? How much more deeply could our relationship have been? Maybe you want your life to be different. We think if we just change our circumstances, then things will be different. But let me tell you, we can change our jobs. We can change our relationships and get a new wife or a new husband. We can even change churches. And what we discover is we keep having the same problems. Our circumstances can change, but yet our lives can remain unchanged. Why? This hasn't changed. Change your heart. Change your life. And Paul reminds us of the good news that Jesus died to give us new life, including new hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You see, Paul wants us to know that God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a greater thing in you. And the Word of God, it pleads with us on this matter. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't be stubborn. Don't negotiate with God. Don't be like a Pharaoh who wouldn't listen and who wouldn't surrender. Jesus wants to give you a new heart. Turn to Him. Listen to Him. Obey and follow Him. Repent and turn to the Lord with all your heart, and He will give you life. Let's pray. Lord, I feel that You are pleading with us today. You're pleading with us. Stop being stubborn. Stop negotiating with your heart. Surrender to Me. Turn to Me with all of your heart. I will give you life. A life worth living. God, we're done with playing games. We're done with buying into the lie that if somehow we give You our whole heart, that somehow we're losing ourselves. That our life will be boring. That we won't have any fun in our life. There's not anything more further than the truth than this, but yet we are deceived. Help us to see today, Lord, the fullness. Let us taste the fullness of the life that You have for us. And so God, right now, I just pray that we would place our hands in our laps in front of us, that we would take those balled up fists, those clenched hands, that we would turn open our palms, that we would place ourselves in a receptive posture. Here am I, Lord. Here's my heart. I offer it to You. Maybe some of you today are desiring to pray like that for the first time. Jesus, I want the life you have for me. Just begin to tell God that. Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to have my heart. Take all of this junk, this sin, this brokenness, and this pain. I give it to you, Lord. God, I remember praying that prayer for the very first time. But Lord, I haven't stopped praying it. Today, I pray that prayer again, Lord. Come into my life. And maybe there are others of you that need to pray that again today. You need to surrender. Begin to do that right now. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. Forgive us, Lord. You're pleading with us. Come. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, who are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We need a freedom like that, Lord.